ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the server, that's a penalty!
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live local and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits. ESPN 97.5, Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the HMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1. Aaron Raybould near the side of the glass, the master controls, at Aaron is Blitz. At ESPN 97.5 and on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. And, you know, Aaron, you remember how I would tell you how my laptop was driving me crazy and I'm finally broke down and got a new laptop. Well, you know how I've been telling you the headphones have been driving me crazy. I can't hear you. You pop in and out. Try me now. Talk to me. I can hear you loud and clear. Do you know why? I went and bought new headphones. Hardwired. No more replaceable wire. The old-fashioned hardwire kind. And sure enough, everything works. Wow, it's amazing. I almost feel like a, professional or something. Everything works. It's quite glorious. You know what else is quite glorious? 14-3 beatdowns. They are quite glorious as the Astros take 2 of 3 from the Twinkies in Minnesota. And they'll get today off before they come home for 2 against the Junk Grabbers. And then 4 against the White Sox. And a lot of good stuff happened for the Astros yesterday. Number one, Michael Brantley. For a guy who just came off the injured list, he sure doesn't look like he's missed any time. 4 for 5, 4 ribeyes. Michael Brantley's hitting .337. Yordan Alvarez, well, he was 2 for 4. He's hitting .302. Yuli's hitting .323. Carlos Correa, 3 for 5, up to .288. Kyle Tucker, 3 for 5, up to .268. Also, team-leading 13th home run. Where are all my Kyle Tucker haters? Where are all my Kyle Tucker's terrible? He needs to be sent down. He needs to be traded. He's a bum. Where are all those people at today? I do kind of want to give you a little bit of the, well, I told you so. Because you deserve it. And Kyle Tucker hit well last year. And the irrational hatred for Kyle Tucker, I don't understand. Kyle Tucker's got an .832 OPS. Even despite the slow start, he's got an .832 OPS. And he's got 13 bombs. Don't look now. Miles Straw up to .256. After a 2-for-3 day that also saw him steal his 8th base. And the Astros, who basically have the best offense in baseball, can we lose the irrational Kyle Tucker hate? Can we lose the irrational Miles Straw hate? A lot of hate on Miles Straw early in the year. Oh, he botched a ball. He's not hitting. Well, he's up to .256. He's got 8 steals. Even Dusty has commented that he's been playing a much better center field as of late. So are we done with the hating on Miles Straw yet? Just quite yet? Are we done with that? Are you ready to stop hating on the 8 hitter on the best offense in baseball? Are we ready to stop with that yet? Because I need a little more from the Astros fans. I don't want to lump the Astros fan in with the Texans fan. The Texan fan doesn't give a damn about reality or whatnot. They just either, yay, go Texans, or they, you know, at this point, you're just, what, apathetic to a team that is just an abject disaster on and off the field. But there's still a lot of that, yay, Texans, just whatever, we don't care. There's no logic there. There's no logic in Astros fans just blindly hating on Kyle Tucker and Miles Straw. And both of those guys are, as the season goes on and they continue to get more comfortable and, you know, get more comfortable at the major league level, get more comfortable with the pitchers that they've seen and the speed of the major league game and their roles on a very veteran team, they seem to be fitting in just quite nicely, don't they? And the Astros get strong game out of Framber Valdez, who is now 3-0 with a 1.42 ERA. Now, he didn't strike a lot of guys out. He doesn't always have to strike a lot of guys out. You know, this was a game where Valdez was just getting the Twinkies to pound it into the ground. 13 ground ball outs, only 4 fly ball outs for Framber Valdez. So, he had it working. If you can just get the other team to pound it into the ground with that infield defense, and they've got a really good infield defense. Now, you can make the case that Altuve is the weakest defender of the four, and he leads the league in fielding percentage at second base. You get him to pound it into the ground, the Astros are going to win every time. That is recipe for success for this baseball team. And you know what? They get a little good news. Lance McCullers Jr. will return to the rotation tomorrow night when the Astros come home to take on the Arlington Junk Grabbers for 2 games. He will pitch in tandem with Jake Odorizzi, so McCullers will start. They'll look to get him for maybe 5 innings if he's ready, and then Odorizzi will come in and, assuming that he pitches well, go somewhere between 3 to 5 innings as the game goes on. So after that, it looks like there'll be a 6-man rotation for at least a little while. So you'll have this McCullers-Odorizzi tandem game. Then Zach Greinke will pitch, and that'll be your Rangers series. And then against the White Sox, it'll be Urquidy, Garcia, Valdez, and then McCullers. So the last game of the White Sox series, it looks like it's shaping up to be Lance McCullers Jr. against Dallas Keuchel. And then Odorizzi would pitch the first game of the Orioles series. We're talking about this stretch here, the stretch the Astros are going through, this being like playoff baseball. This was going to be their toughest stretch, maybe of the entire season. They had the Dodgers, the Padres, the Red Sox, the Jays, and the Red Sox again, and then the Twinkies. Then you get a little 2-game break here with the Junk Grabbers, and then you get 4 against the White Sox. That this would be like the toughest stretch they probably face all year. They're 11-7 in that stretch right now, despite the fact that their bullpen absolutely handed away 2 games against the Padres. They are still 11-7 in their last 18 against essentially all playoff teams or teams that have been playoff teams the last couple of years. Twinkies are just off to a bad start. For whatever reason, Twins are off to a bad start. They're struggling pitching, but they've been a playoff team the last several years. Dodgers, the Padres, the Red Sox all look like playoff teams this year. The Blue Jays, they could be a playoff team this year. White Sox will certainly be a playoff team this year. Well, they're 11-7 in this stretch so far of playing against teams with really good records. Not a whole lot more you can ask for them. Generally, you know, recipe for success: beat up on the bad teams, play 500 against the good teams. Well, they're playing better than 500 against the good teams. And then after, you know, the Junk Grabbers and the White Sox, then you get a stretch of games. The O's, the Tigers, the O's, and the Tribe. Bad team, bad team, bad team, bad team. They should beat up on those guys before they finish the first half at home against the Oakland A's and the Yankees. Well, the Yankees are feeling it right now. I mean, you just hate to see it, don't you? You just hate to see it. Oh, it kills. Talked about this story last week. Andy Martino, of course, who wrote the Cheated book. And just so you guys know, I actually ordered the book. I want to read it myself and see what's really in it as opposed to what Richard Justice says is in it or opposed to what somebody else says is in it. So I ordered the book. It came today. I read the first couple of chapters. It's nothing that so far, it's nothing that I haven't already known or researched myself, but I'm only a couple of chapters in. I'm going to read through the whole thing. I've reached out to Andy. Andy has agreed to come on the show, so I will be able to discuss the book with Andy. I just wanted to read it for myself, the whole thing, before having him on, because I don't want to rely on what somebody else said is in the book. I want to know what's in it myself. And Andy has agreed to come on, so I'll probably have Andy on. Probably next week we'll get Andy Martino on, and we'll talk about that book and find out by then I'll know just how much in there is legit, how much in there is fluff, and ask him about, you know, where and why did he come up with his where and why. So we'll look to have Andy on next week. But Andy had reported last week with the Yankees that Hal Steinbrenner is treating the luxury tax line like a hard cap. The Yankees have been over the cap a lot. They'd be a 50% payer this year. They'd lose international bonus pool money. They would have draft picks get reduced on where they get compensated. So the Yankees are trying to reset this year. And maybe they would have scratched that plan if they were playing better. But the Yankees are in a massive rut right now. They are a game over 500. They have lost 7 of 10. They are in fourth place in the AL East. They have a negative run differential. And on top of that, the Yankees have scored the second fewest runs in the American League. It is going sideways for the New York Yankees. Andy Martino had reported last week, hey, they are not likely to go over the cap unless they go on like some kind of major winning streak. There's an update to that story as well as some more on your Houston Astros. So we'll get to next. Late Hits.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. So last week, told you about Andy Martino saying the Yankees and Hal Steinbrenner not likely to go over the tax line unless the team gets really hot. The Yankees are treating it like a hard cap. They want to reset. They'd be 50% taxpayers. And, you know, unlike George, Hal runs it like a business. It's not, you know, George ran it like it was his, you know, personal piggy bank. And George would take every single dollar the Yankees made and put it right back in the team. Hal doesn't do that. Hal wants his profit margin. He's not about to just, like, win at all costs the way George was win at all costs. You know, and the Yankees took a very risky approach in the offseason. They signed guys with big injury histories hoping for rebounds. You know, they signed Corey Kluber, two-time Cy Young Award winner, who has pitched, what, 10 innings in the last 2 years. Well, guess who's on the 60-day IL? I mean, it's amazing. This guy threw a no-hitter against the Junk Grabbers last month. He's pitched really well. He's got a 3.04 ERA, striking out a batter an inning. But here he is on the 60-day with a shoulder injury. And how many shoulder injuries is Corey Kluber going to have? You know, they made a trade for Jameson Taillon, who was a hot young prospect for the Pittsburgh Pirates once upon a time, but has had a just plethora of injuries in his career that have sidelined him. He's now 29 years old. They took a flyer on him, and his ERA is 5.74. He has not been good. So the Yankees took some risks with their pitching moves this offseason, and they haven't worked. The offense is stuck in reverse, let alone neutral. Like I said, they've scored the second fewest runs in the American League. And now Mark Feinsand, who also used to cover the Yankees, I think for the Daily News, and now he's with MLB.com. Mark Feinsand thinks if the Yankees don't get it together, they could be sellers. Think about that. The Yankees as sellers. They've gone from 28 and 19 to 33 and 32. They just lost a series to the Phillies after getting swept at home by the Red Sox. You know, and some of these moves might just be to, you know, move out some money. Corey Kluber, Brett Gardner, these guys are on expiring deals. They won't get much for them. Would they trade Luke Voit? Would they trade Miguel Andujar? And if they go into July under 500, I mean, they got to play the Jays, Oakland, the Red Sox, and then they got to play the Mets. And Yankees-Mets is a big deal in Yankee land. Like, they don't want to lose to the Kid Brothers in the Subway Series. We could see wholesale panic in the Bronx. Don't you just hate to see it? But all the things that we've been concerned about with the Astros, would the Astros be willing to spend over the tax line when we get to, you know, when we get to July? And really from, let's say, the All-Star break to the deadline, July 30th this year, that's when all the dirty deeds go down. Would the Astros be willing to go over the tax to bring in some relievers because the bullpen is the problem? Right now, they've got Ryan Pressly and a bunch of guys they can't count on. And the idea of trading a starting pitcher for a reliever is a dumb idea. You never trade starters for relievers. Starters have minimum three times the value of a reliever. There is no reliever on the market that's worth, say, a Christian Javier or Jose Urquidy, anybody like that. You're better off taking whichever starters that aren't going to pitch in the rotation and putting them at the back of the pen to build your bridge to Ryan Pressly. So if you go out and you add an arm, just keep in mind, you know, they brought in Pedro Baez to be a late-inning arm. He's been hurt all year. When he comes back, who knows? He's still not throwing off a mound yet. Joe Smith's been a very good reliever his entire career, but this year he stunk, and now he's on the injured list, and probably not hard to figure out why he stunk pitching with an injury. Paredes is back on the IL. Josh James had a setback. The Astros have had a lot of injuries in the bullpen. And if they decide, hey, you know, we're not going to stick with the six-man rotation, eventually we're going to go back to the five-man rotation. If that's Luis García who winds up in the pen, well, García and Javier should be pitching the seventh and the eighth. Because outside of Presley, they're your two best arms in the pen. Let those guys pitch the seventh and the eighth. Let them be your bridge. You know, Stanek, be your regular sixth inning guy. And this way you don't have to use the underbelly of the rotation, or the underbelly of the bullpen all that often. The Brooks Raleys, the Blake Taylors. You don't have to go to those guys. And that's how you piece it together until you get to towards the deadline and you're able to make a move. You know, and the Astros shouldn't be looking at it as, oh, we're going to get hammered. What if we have to pay the tax? Because in reality, their bill isn't really their bill because they've got a $26.5 million coupon. That's the amount the insurance is likely paying on Justin Verlander's $33 million contract. Insurance usually covers 80% of the deal. Well, that's $26.4 million in actual cash that the Astros don't have to pay. So as long as they don't go over 230, they don't get any kind of walloping, and they're not going to go over 230. Not for a couple of relievers. But that's where, you know, that money, that $26.5 million, well, go get yourself a stud reliever. And if you've got to pay tax, well, take it out of the money you're saving on Verlander. $26.5 million in no small potatoes. Now, yeah, if they go over the tax, they're going to have to pay 30% on whatever they go over. Right, so if they go $6 million over, they got to pay like $175 in tax. That's not that much. Not for $26.4 million, and certainly not if you go into the postseason and you're racking in postseason, between the postseason money, which almost all goes to the team. Players get paid very little for the postseason. And then all the merchandise you sell postseason, that extra $8 million, you'll make that up before the first round of the playoffs is over. Where it hurts them more is, you know, if they've got a comp pick for a lost free agent with a qualifying offer, Carlos Correa specifically, they wouldn't get it at the end of round two. They'd get it at round four because they're a two-time taxpayer. How do you fix that? Sign Carlos Correa. But we got, for the first time, we actually got an idea from the Astros that the luxury tax is a factor, but it's not going to be a hard cap. And that was a quote from James Click to Chandler Rome, the Chronicle. He said the tax is a factor, but he also said is not a hard cap. And that if the Astros have to make moves at the deadline, they're willing to make those moves at the deadline. And that's a big, big difference for this team because up until now, it's been a very united front. We're not going over the tax. We're not going over the tax. Well, now the window is opened and, well, you know, if we got to go over the tax, you know, we're gonna weigh the option. But if we got to go over the tax, we'll go over the tax. You know, looking to build a World Series contender. And it's nice when the Astros are in a better situation than the Yankees. I don't know. It's just, so hard to see it. Well, not really. Actually, it's wonderful. Coming up next, is the IOC pushing an Olympic Games on a country that doesn't actually want them? Play it.
Get low when the whistle goes. Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So Lamont on Twitter asked, would you try to bring Verlander back? 100% I try to bring Verlander back. Unless Verlander, like, can't pitch and is going to retire, I'm figuring a way to bring Justin Verlander back. The guy's not human. I mean, he's ahead of Baez right now. Verlander's been throwing from flat ground for a month and a half, and he should only be doing that right about now. Verlander was opining about, could he be ready to pitch late September, October? And realistically, for the Astros, you do not want to risk Justin Verlander's arm for a couple of weeks. Because that's all it'd be a couple of weeks of baseball. And I would not risk his arm permanently for that. Considering the track record of Tommy John surgery and Verlander's own track record, it stands to reason Justin Verlander will look a lot like Justin Verlander next year. Might have a game here and there where he struggles because that's normal with guys first year back from Tommy John. But I don't expect his velocity to be down. And I don't expect his stuff to be down. Verlander's a unique player. I mean, he's a generational pitcher. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. Like, first ballot Hall of Famer. And if he can pitch, if he's healthy next season, I'm bringing him back. Hell, if he's not healthy in February, but looks like he'd be ready to contribute by June, July, I'm still bringing him back. Because that's what Verlander means to the team. Verlander will still be a true ace. I have no doubt Verlander will come back with this stuff completely intact. He's just blessed with a golden arm. So whatever, like, Verlander's coming back. Zach Greinke's probably not coming back. And Greinke's another guy who has had an incredible career. Great, great pitcher. But there's too many four-inning games. When Greinke is on, he's like joy to watch. You know, true craftsman, moves the ball in, out, high, low, changes speeds better than anybody. But because he like barely touches 90 with anything, when he's not sharp, he doesn't last, especially against the better hitting teams. You know, full display against the Red Sox, he wasn't sharp and he smacked them around. And he's just, look, he's too much money to, what has he got, four outings this year where he's gone four innings or less? You can't have that with a guy you're paying that kind of money to that you want to be at the front of your rotation. That's a back of the rotation pitcher. So while I have a ton of respect for Zach Greinke, I'm letting Zach Greinke go at the end of the year. Trying to get everything I can get out of him this season because I need him this season. And this might be his last hurrah. But I would not go with Greinke again next season. You got a lot of young guys. McCullers is under contract. Urquidy's still cheap. Fromber's cheap. Javier's cheap. You still have Odorizzi, who you're not paying a lot of money to at the back end of the rotation. You add in Justin Verlander. You don't need to bring back Zach Greinke. And that's $25, $26 million that you're not paying. That's money that you can allocate to Carlos Correa. Because if you don't allocate it to Carlos Correa, you're going to have to allocate it to somebody else who's going to give you that production. I mean, right now, if you just look at what the Astros are doing, when you get to what their offense looks like, just think about this for a second. An 800 OPS is considered a quality starter, all-star type caliber player. Not necessarily an all-star, but all-star caliber. When you are north of 820, you're into legitimate all-star balloting. Despite the slow start, Kyle Tucker's OPS is 832. Correa is 868. Altuve is 831. Bregman is 803, but I'm not really worried about Bregman. Bregman, historically, is a second-half hitter. Usually, Bregman doesn't hit as well in the first half, gets scorching hot in the second half. I think Alex Bregman is going to be scorching hot in the second half. So if his OPS is already 800, it'd probably be 900 by the end of the season when he tears it up in August and September. Yuli Gurriel's OPS is 929. That is stud-level hitting. Yordan is 873. Brantley is 879. That's damn near every hitter in the lot. Seven hitters in your lineup. With OPS, it's over 800. Their offense is just ridiculous. And they haven't even clicked on all cylinders yet. Yeah, this is one of the things we were talking about before the season started. How good this offense is, the balance that Brantley comes, the return of Yordan Alvarez, the emergence of Kyle Tucker. This is going to be the most feared offense in the league. And so far, it is. I mean, the Red Sox reporters and beat guys were all talking about, wow, how great the Red Sox pitching has been. And then the Astros beat the crap out of them. Twice. Four games here, three games there. They're 5-2 against the Red Sox. The Astros have feasted on the Red Sox pitching. That offense scares the hell out of people. That's why they want so bad to say, oh, the Astros are still cheating. There's got to be a reason why the Astros are so good offensively. It's because they're really damn good. That's the reason. That's all there is to it. It's because they're really damn good. There's a bunch of guys on the Astros lineup that essentially are all-star players. All four guys in the infield. Tucker and Brantley and Yordan. Seven of their nine bats are worthy of going to the All-Star game. That's freaking crazy. And think about how many of those guys at Altuve had the slow start. Bregman hasn't hit for the power he usually hits for. Correa's been up and down. Tucker got off to a slow start. And yet here we are. Seven guys that could be, Alvarez missed a lot of time. You know, COVID. Yordan Alvarez playing left field. Now, granted, it is a strategic move to play Yordan in left field when you have a guy like Framber Valdez on the mound who throws a ton of ground balls. That's not done by accident. That is extremely strategic that Yordan Alvarez playing left field with a pitcher that does not give up a lot of fly balls. Only 4 fly ball outs for Fromber, 13 on the ground. So when you're going to try to find a way to get Yordan in left field, watch for him to play left field when Fromber's pitching. Oh, by the way, did you notice Yordan Alvarez? Stolen base. Stolen base and a home run in the same game. I don't think the Astros have had that happen for 2 years. The Astros' offense is insane. And they're starting pitching for all the issues they've had, all the injuries they've had. Starting pitching's held it together. They need to build a bridge to Presley. And if for the next 2 months that bridge has to be Christian Javier and Luis Garcia, then that's the bridge. But it was great to see James Click say it's not going to be a hard cap. You know, they don't want to go over it, but they're accepting. These comments tell you they are accepting if they really want to make another run in a World Series, which they do. They're going to have to go over the cap. They may not have to go over it by a lot, but they're going to have to go over the cap. They're going to have to go get some relief help. That bullpen is not World Series caliber. Closer is, rest of the pen isn't. They're going to need to go get at least one, maybe two arms. And realistically, if they can go add two arms, two quality relievers, have Garcia and Javier in the pen, and get back Pedro Baez, that's a really strong pen. And boy, we're talking about a really different Astros team. You're talking about a team that's going to scare the hell out of the Dodgers and the Padres. All right, we will get to that Olympic story coming up next.
To date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. ESPN Radio Sports Beat with Jason Fitz.
The easiest thing to do for media and for fans is to yell about sports without any context. And that's why, without adding qualifiers, what happened around certain events matters. Think about the NBA playoffs. Now, we've talked a lot about the bubble and what impact the bubble will have on how we eventually view the Lakers championship. At some point, will we not have to have those same conversations about a short turnaround from the playoffs and what it means moving forward? I mean, look at what we've seen and the war of attrition that we're seeing with injuries right now that has to be at some level looked at by the NBA for what the schedule has done leading into the playoffs. I'm not taking anything away from Phoenix, for example, beating the Lakers in the first round, but we all know what version of the Lakers they beat. The Brooklyn Nets are now tied with Milwaukee 2 games each in their series, but we all know that this isn't the version of Brooklyn that we expected we'd be seeing. Injuries have impacted virtually every series across the NBA playoffs. So without putting any asterisks or qualifiers to what's happening this year, can we not at least put context around the conversation of whoever comes out as the champion as the NBA looks at their business model to make sure that they're putting the best possible product out for the playoffs? In 60 seconds, unpredictability in another sport in a good way.
It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half? That feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the 9th inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All in America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you could pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game. And now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
Frankly, I love an unpredictable champion, and that's all the more reason to love college baseball. For the 21st straight NCAA tournament, the number one seed will not win the national title. For the eighth time since the tournament went to its current format in 99, the top seed hasn't made it to the College World Series. Arkansas losing to NC State is giving us yet again another unpredictable outcome out of college baseball. And for all that we talk about fixing baseball as a sport, maybe it's time to talk about one level of baseball that seems to be giving us unpredictability in every single good way. Little praise to college baseball, to the College World Series, and its unpredictability. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Jason Fitz.
Listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hello, to my friend Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. You know, for over 20 years, I dealt with horrible sinus issues, sinus infections every other month. Did all kinds of damage to my sinuses and my airways and resulted in crazy snoring and ultimately sleep apnea. And I spent over 20 years just living on antibiotics, getting Z-Pak after Z-Pak to try to treat this sinus infection. And the snoring just got worse and sleep apnea got worse. And I couldn't sleep wearing the CPAP, so my sleep apnea was going untreated. Well, about 2 years ago, I met Dr. Ben and scheduled a consultation with him up. He's got a state-of-the-art facility in North Houston. And went to go see him, sat down, told him everything that was going on. He asked me a bunch of questions. I answered them as best I could. We went three doors down the hallway. They did a CT scan. 5 minutes later, Doc's got the results up on the board, telling me what's going on in my head. We put a plan of action together. A month later, I had a procedure done. They removed staph infection from my sinus, which was resistant to antibiotics and why it kept recurring. They did a balloon sinuplasty to fix all the damaged tissues in my sinuses and open up my airways so I could breathe better. And they did a septoplasty that fixed my deviated septum that I didn't even know that I had. From the day I had the procedure, I knew I could breathe better. I could feel it. And it's almost 2 years. I haven't had a single sinus infection. I haven't had a sinus headache. I don't snore. And I no longer have sleep apnea. It's a miracle process. I went from being more tired when I woke up than when I went to bed to sleeping perfectly through the night and feeling great in the morning. If you deal with these issues, whether it's your sinuses, snoring, sleep apnea, you want to get rid of that CPAP machine or you're not using it and you're just leaving it untreated, you need to at least have a consultation with Dr. Ben Salento. So take down this phone number, 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313, or go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Schedule a consultation with Dr. Ben. Let him help you the way he's helped me. Tell him I sent you by. Make sure you talk with the Astros or Texans or something with him, because Doc loves to talk sports. Great dude. So in Japan, there are rally after rally for Japanese citizens saying they want the Olympics to be canceled. COVID is tearing through Japan. And they have like 35 million elderly residents in Japan. Tokyo, most populous city in the world. And there's newspapers calling for the Olympics to be canceled because of COVID. But the IOC is going forward with the event. On Outside the Lines on ESPN, IOC member Richard Pound. He's the same guy as Dick Pound, but now all of a sudden he's going by Richard. Richard Pound had this to say on Outside the Lines when asked about going forward with the Tokyo Olympics.
Well, the best scientific information we have, we're getting on a daily basis from the public health authorities in Japan, from all around the world. Vaccines are now generally available. I think perhaps some of the misgivings in Japan may be a result of a relatively slow deployment of the vaccine. I think I would take informed science over a sketchy series of polls in this matter.
Well, with all due respect, Mr. Pound, the New England Journal of Medicine is not sketchy. The journal said holding the Olympics was not informed by the best scientific evidence. You're talking about 36 million elderly people in Japan. You're talking about bringing in 90,000 people from around the world, 200 plus countries, does present some risk. I think we all have to acknowledge that, don't we?
Well, all of the people that are coming in are going to be insulated from all of this. They're going to be in that bubble. The team officials, the athletes, the people working the village and so on. So, you know, unless you're out on the street sort of strolling around trying to have some interaction with foreign visitors, if that's the real problem here, it's not going to happen. A lot of this is speculation rather than hard science and data-backed science.
That is IOC member Richard Pound, who for, 40 years went by Dick Pound, but now is going by Richard Pound, explaining why, hey, we're going forward with the Olympics. We really don't care what Japan has to say or what whatever medicine journal has to say. And I understand there is a ton of money tied up in this, especially when you consider they postponed it from last year to this year. There's a ton of money involved. And realistically, for the city of Tokyo and the country Japan, there's a ton of money at stake. For every country, there's a ton of money at stake. Every athlete wants to go and compete because, look, there's not a lot. I mean, you only get a chance to go to the Olympics once every 4 years. You know, I remember when the U.S. boycotted the Moscow Olympics, those athletes, you know, they were upset. They wanted to compete. When Russia turned around, well, at the time, the Soviet Union, when the Soviet Union turned around and boycotted the L.A. Olympics in 84, those athletes were frustrated. Now, they weren't allowed to say it until, you know, many years later when the Soviet Union crumbled and they could speak without being shot. But they wanted to compete. Athletes want to compete. And they probably are going to be in a bubble, although as we learned from the Rio Olympics, a lot of athletes are on Tinder and or Grindr or both looking for hookups while they're there. You had a bunch of young people in phenomenal physical shape, and just like the NBA players were complaining they couldn't have sex in the bubble, well, all these athletes, they're going to want to get it on while they're there for the, 2.5 weeks of the Olympics. So either we're going to get a lot of athlete-on-athlete sex or we're going to get a lot of sneaking around. It's going to happen. But my understanding is that everyone who is going to Tokyo from every foreign country has to be vaccinated or they can't get in. So the IOC will not allow non-vaccinated athletes, staffers, etc. at the Olympics. And you know, one of the things we're learning here, you know what? If you are vaccinated, you really don't have to worry about stuff. Like we're seeing pretty much everywhere, you don't even have to wear a mask anymore. The idea of, hey, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. If you're not vaccinated, you should wear a mask. People who aren't vaccinated, who aren't wearing masks, they're only putting themselves at risk. They're not putting those of us who are vaccinated at risk. It's them being dumb. So at this point, I don't even worry about who does or doesn't wear a mask anymore, because if you're not wearing a mask and you're not vaccinated, you're the dummy. You're the one at risk, not me. This puppy got all the shots. I don't have to worry about it. And everybody who gets fully vaccinated, once you're 2 weeks past your second shot, you're basically in the clear. I mean, I can't tell you how much I love not having to wear a damn mask anymore. I'm tired of wearing that, especially in the summer. In 90 plus. I mean, last year was 100 plus for like, what, a month and a half straight. You had to wear that stupid mask all the time. You just feel like you're sweating through your face like crazy. I don't miss that at all. There was a time we had to wear masks, and firm supporter of wearing masks and stopping the flow of COVID. Everybody can go get a vaccine now. They're free. You can go down to NRG, and they got it at one of the lots. The signs are up. Every time I drive down the West Park Tollway, there's a sign. Free vaccines, no wait. If you're, what, 12 or older, you can be vaccinated? There's no excuse. Go get vaccinated. Don't have to deal with masks anymore. Live your life normal. Have as big a damn party as you want. I would hope that the IOC would help Japan get more vaccines through. Go in there and help them with vaccinations. I want the Olympics to go on. I don't want to not see them to go on. All those athletes want to do it. Go in there, give them more vaccines, help make it safe for them. Make them feel better about it. It's not that hard. Late hits. We never knew what we had.
We keep on running, running through a red light like this. This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.